your children three things: love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran reciter. Teach your children three things: love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran reciter.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel We once again welcome you in our program Parenting Skills In this program we talk about some tips and we discuss some challenges How can we better upbring our children? We seek advice from a professional doctor Zeerat Naseem Attari who is with us Alhamdulillah when we started this program we conducted a survey and we asked your replies. You responded to us. We have got some replies and we take them as a case study and we discuss with Dr. and he gives us his professional advice on them. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dr. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen ala kulli hal rizwan bhai. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Lots of we have got few responses which I would like to include in today's episode. And the very first one I would like to take is that there is a boy who is 6 years old and there's no physical or mental health illnesses and no regular medication, no family history. The problem parents they are facing is always angry, does not eat, never wants to go to school or masjid, does not want to go to toilet, have to force him to go to toilet. Has very low concentration levels, randomly starts to scream. So the strategies what parents they have adopted to solve this issue is, there are some they mentioned, have tried to take him on walks, also tried to change diet, try to keep him in a happy environment, take him to shops, avoid giving him mobile phone or a tablet. He has an allergy with chickens, so he under review with doctors for that. So he is under review with doctors. So this is what we have received the response. How can you respond to this, please?
So there are a couple of things here that are important to mention. One is the food allergy, and he is under investigation.
Yes.
So whenever any child has got any medical health problem that is under investigation, now he is a six-year-old child. So whenever he has to attend doctors, meaning he's having to take time off school.
Yes.
And that can be an anxiety-provoking situation for the child. And especially going to see your doctor in hospital can be anxiety-provoking. He, in his own mind, may be thinking, what is wrong with me?
I am different.
The parents themselves may be anxious about it. So that anxiety is being, learned by the child as well. And clearly, whenever there's an allergy, then that can cause a number of different problems. For example, he's got allergy with chicken. It's not, they haven't given any particular details of what happens when he eats chicken.
Yes.
It's possible that whenever he may have eaten chicken in the past, then that may have given rise to some problems, some symptoms, stomach ache or other, sometimes if it's allergy, they come up with a rash and so forth. Lip swelling or tongue swelling and so forth, and these can be really difficult.
Yeah.
Sometimes if it's an allergy and the child gets really unwell, that can be frightening as well. And sometimes what happens is that when you go and see the doctors and they say, this is really serious and the child can die and so on and so forth. In the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So this is all affecting the child from a psychological point of view. That's one issue. What I can think about in terms of his behavioral difficulties.
Okay.
Now the second thing that it's related that he's not eating.
Yes.
So it is possible that because he's experienced previous problems with eating, or the doctors may have said, or the health professionals may have said, don't eat this, it will cause this problem or that problem.
Yes.
And now he's taken that in his mind, and he is now worried.
Yes.
One issue with children is that one problem can lead to generalization. For example, children go to dentist and they are scared of the dentist.
Yeah.
So dentist is a doctor. So now the child will be scared of all doctors.
Sure.
So they generalize. So if it's a problem with the chicken, this child may be generalizing it
mm.
with other food as well, and that's why he wants to avoid eating. Yeah. Now, if he's not eating very well or his food is not a balanced diet, then the chances are that he may have a problem with his bowels. So either he may be constipated
mm.
and when there are constipation issues and the problems and so forth, then that can be really difficult for children to go into the toilet and they start avoiding.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the issue with children is avoidance in that sense. These are all tying in with his allergy.
Yeah.
Allergy having a psychological impact on him. Behavior. He may not feel normal. This is affecting his confidence. Now the chances are that he may be being picked up by the other children in the school and in the masjid. Now this is what then is adding into this.
And he doesn't want to go
and
to school.
And he doesn't want to go to school. And to make matters more worse, he clearly isn't going to be able to explain these things to the parents. This is why he doesn't want to go to school. This is why he doesn't want to go to madrasa. This is how he feels. So that's my assumption.
Do you think they should go to the masjid and school and discuss with them also that he has got this problem? So,
first of all, they need to sit with the child
okay.
and try to ask him. Well, you have to establish that relationship of trust with him for him to obviously mention these things.
Right.
So the parents may have to do a bit of a groundwork if not already done so.
Okay.
So asking him about, are there any problems in the school? Are there any problems in the madrasa? How does he feel about his allergy? How does he feel about attending the appointments and so forth?
Okay.
Are there any fears in his mind?
Okay.
And try to get into that.
Okay.
Once they identify these issues, then discuss these with the doctors.
Okay.
Discuss these with the professionals. Discuss these with the school as well. So that everyone has an understanding. Once they identify the issues from the child's point of view,
then you can address it.
And then you can address at the school, at the madrasa,
yes.
And other places as well. And I think, I mean, the other thing is the concentration levels and the screaming. At the moment, I think we need to clarify these situations first.
Yeah.
And I think because he's got an allergy, a physical health problem, which may be an explanation for these things. Now, assuming that whatever I've said doesn't apply to this particular child.
Okay.
Then you got to look at the psychological causes on its own. Again, is it bullying at school? Is it bullying at madrasa? Is it something like we previously discussed, if his concentration levels are poor and he screams? This is sort of like, is there any behavioral disorder? Is there any sort of like, autistic spectrum disorder or ADHD? Yes, I'm mentioning these names. It's not a strong possibility, but these are the some things that the professionals have to think about, so they need to take him to the doctors. As far as what the parents are concerned, alhamdulillah, you know, this parent has actually given his comments as well, and he's saying that Madani Channel is doing a great job. Every single program is interesting.
Mashallah.
Carry on with the hard work. I'm not a Tari. I have traveled to a lot of places and seen a lot of people, but I have not seen anybody like Peer Saab. May Allah Azawajal give Peer Saab long, healthy, wealthy and success life. And alhamdulillah, it is because of Amiri Al-Sunnah that we are sitting here. And may Allah Azawajal give a long, healthy life to Amiri Al-Sunnah. May Allah Azawajal give him more strength to do the work of Deen. And may Allah Azawajal keep him physically fit and healthy. And may Allah Azawajal give us the ability to act upon the teachings of Amiri Ahl-e-Sunnat.
Allahumma, beautifully explained. Thank you very much for your feedback too. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, let's take another case. And the case, Doctor, is there is a boy who is 14 years old and he is not suffering from any physical or mental health issues and no regular medication, no family history. The problem parents they are facing that my son does not listen anything, swears at home, fight with parents and siblings, going out with friends. So there's a behavioral issue. And the strategy they have adopted to solve this issue is, I tried to make him sit and explain, told his teacher, done everything.
Okay. So this is another typical teenager from this society, doesn't listen, swears, fights with parents and goes out with his friends. The easy thing will be to blame his friends. He's going out and they are influencing him. Mm-hmm. But the difficult thing is to look at the home environment itself.
Very good.
The difficult thing for the parents will be to actually reflect on their own strategies mm-hmm. from his childhood up until now. Now, clearly, that is something that is very, very difficult. If someone, by nature, it is easy for us to blame our sort of weaknesses and shortfalls on someone else.
Shift the responsibility on others.
This does not actually help anyone in any way. In essence, it just creates more problems for you and you don't get to resolve anything. Let's say if the parents are blaming their friends. Obviously, we don't know what the friends are like, but this child, he's got good network with these friends. He trusts them, and that's why he goes out with them. That's why he spends time with them. They must be listening to him.
Yeah.
They must be obviously, you know, making him feel happy and so forth. And that's why he's spending the time with them. Now, if the parents are saying, you need to stop going out, you need to, you know, in essence, what the parents are saying, obviously not wrong in this particular case. If they suspect that the friends are bad company, then they can make a request, but that request has to be proper, and the child has to understand the reasons and the rationales behind why the parents are saying that he shouldn't actually see his friends. But what is going to happen from a child's mind of point of view, or this teenager's point of view,
he's
is
already angry,
that he thinks, oh, my, you know, they are my friends, and my parents are, they don't like my friends, I don't care. So he will become an anti, you know, he will go into the rebellious mode. But the difficult thing, as I said, is for the parents to, I'm trying to address all parents here,
right,
not just in particular this family or these parents, is that reflect on your strategies.
Okay.
I know, once again, I may not have a solution to this particular problem, but it is what we should have done in the past.
Okay.
And yes, there could still be, obviously, there's a scope for the relationship to develop further. But what happens is, again, as parents, we need to be spending time with our children. As parents, when from a young age, so we need to be available to listen to them physically and mentally, not be occupied by the mobile phone. When the child is coming to us, no matter how important thing I am doing, I must stop and give full attention to my child. I may be to blame for this to an extent as well sometimes, but at least if majority of the times, if my child comes to me, I stop doing what I'm doing, listen to him.
Good.
Sounds very simple, but that is something that will develop your relationship with your child. What happens is that these children, they are coming to us many times. I'm busy on my mobile phone, I'm busy sending an email, I'm busy on Facebook or social media. And I just ignore the child, and not just ignore, I shout at them that, can't you see I'm busy, I'll speak to you later on. And what is happening is, these friends, they listen.
Yeah.
They not just listen, but they respond.
Yeah.
They help. They obviously, they speak the same language as this child.
Mm-hmm.
So parents have to actually fight for that they need to become friendly parents in a way that they can replace these friends, the need for these. Yes, I mean, there are certain restrictions, the boundaries in terms of relations between a father and a son or a mother and a daughter, but it's not too far off. As I said, friendly parents. So being friendly with the child from the beginning and always adopting a non-judgmental approach.
Hmm.
Don't blame the child. You know, if they try to discuss a problem or something goes wrong, you know, you have the experience. You know, I would have made the same mistakes. So I can explain these things, I can be available, and I can help my child to address that problem in a positive, constructive way. So that's what the parents actually really need to do. And sometimes what happens, let's look at this, the child swears. Swearing either comes suddenly by adopting the bad company, which is rare,
or by violence,
or by long term observing your own family members that they swear. So adults swear and the children learn. Whether it's someone else's parents who swore, the child used the bad language in school and my child picked it up from there. Again, ultimately, who's responsible? The adults. I am part of that adult who may be swearing and then the children are picking it up from that. And also fighting with parents. The fighting with parents is most likely happening is because parents may not have stuck to the boundaries. The child tried to break the boundaries and he was successful. The parents are now getting angry and he is rebelling. So clearly, out of nowhere, no child is going to shout or fight with the parents. The parents must be making some demands in a way that this child cannot understand.
What I have understood from what you have explained, Doctor, nutshell is that we need to develop a friendly environment at home and a friendship with our kids and our children. But unfortunately, we are busy 24/7. We think that the work is more important, right? We are out and working and we think we are doing it for our kids, we are doing it for our children, and we are buying them expensive phones, we are buying them expensive tablets, whatever they need, we are giving them. That's what we are working for them. We have given everything to them, but at least they should respect us. So this is their understanding. And when the father is coming, kids are sleeping, right? And when the kids are going to school, the father is sleeping. He is working 24/7. He has no time to give the parents. When the time comes to this extent, then they start facing these issues. When children, they were not given the time they needed. What would you say onto this?
Now, definitely, yes, you need the money for the basic necessities and the basic needs, like we discussed, physiological needs, having a home and obviously, you know, a comfortable environment in the home and the car for transportation and so forth. But other than that basic needs, what the children need is your time.
Right.
They don't need your money. They need your time. And there was an example that was shared on Madani channel, and I'd like to repeat that here, is that a father wasn't giving time to his child. The child asks him, the father, that dad, how much money did you get at work? How much did you get paid?
Very good.
And the father goes, I get paid this amount per hour.
Let's say £15 an hour.
Yeah, let's say £15 an hour or whatever. The child starts saving his pocket money. And one day, he brings his £15 saved of pocket money, gives it to the dad, and says, Dad, here's £15. Can I have 1 hour of your time?
Allah.
Okay? So children need our time. They need our attention. Other than the basic needs and the necessities, they don't need luxury. They need our love, and they need our time, and they need our attention. Love, attention, time does not require huge amount of money.
Excellent. Beautiful. Doctor, let's take another case. There's a boy who is 10 years old, no physical or mental health illnesses, no regular medication, no family history whatsoever. The problem they're facing that he gets very angry sometimes and keeps eating stuff like biscuits when asked, and my boy and girl say, no, we didn't eat it. When he's asked whether you ate it or not, so they lied. And the strategy, they say, told them it's okay if you eat, but let me know you did eat or not. This is the strategy they have adopted.
Okay, well, I mean, this is interesting situation. And again, it's a common situation. The children try to hide things.
Yeah.
That's one issue. We previously addressed that if the child feels that if they tell you what they've done, and you are going to be angry at them, and they won't tell. But in this case, the parent is saying that I do tell them that it's okay if you obviously tell, you've eaten and so forth. But it looks like that, okay, you may be saying it, but in the past, you have shouted at them.
Yes.
Now, you only need to do a negative behavior just once, and the child will stick that in the mind.
Okay.
And then it takes a lot of good behavior, a lot of effort, a lot of positivity to completely wipe off that behavior previously. But if the parents are mostly telling them off, but here and there say to them, it's okay, even if you've eaten it, clearly the child's way too clever. Sure. They will not accept it. So the mother or the father, they need to do a lot more to gain that trust of the children.
Right.
The other thing is, in here, which the point I would like to pick up from here, is the food habits.
Jee.
Now, clearly, children like sweet things.
Drinks,
fizzy drinks, chocolate, crisps, biscuits,
fast food
and so forth. And that's a big issue in this society, in this day and age.
True.
Why it is big issue that these things, number one, are full of calories.
Yeah.
And the children are gaining weight.
Yes.
They are getting obese. At the moment, obesity is a bigger concern for medical professions than even the cancer.
Allahu Akbar.
The cancer may happen later on in your life,
mm-hmm.
and maybe, you know, fatal within months or a year or whatever. But the obesity, it renders you useless.
Mm-hmm.
It brings in lots of problems, heart problems, lung problems, social issues, anxiety, confidence issues, bullying, and so forth. And then, you know, you become a burden for yourself and you become a burden upon the society as well. I'm using these words, burden for self and the society, just to sort of illustrate the point,
yeah.
rather than meaning that I am thinking negatively of these people.
Yeah.
Not that even society thinks negatively of these people, but that's the reality of the situation. So taking in too much calories and the, you know, then children don't do exercise, they're in sitting in front of the screen and eating all these things. So from a physical health point of view, it's a problem. From a mental health point of view, it's a problem. From social health point of view, it's a problem. Also, these bad habits, eating biscuits, sugary stuff, then the children don't brush their teeth properly.
Yeah.
Then this causes dental decay.
Dental
the bacteria decay. And the germs, they thrive on sugary stuff. Those individuals who sometimes have a toothache or a problem, they will notice that if they eat sugar, sweet stuff,
mm-hmm.
that will get worse.
Yeah.
Why? Because the germs and the bacteria that are in our mouth, they then start using this sugar, and this makes the problem worse. So dental problems, dental decay, and all these things. Plus, if your food habits, if you are not eating a balanced diet,
mm-hmm.
then it affects clearly your brain as well. So there are many studies which are showing that a good balanced diet, a good eating habit, and in families where parents sit together and eat,
mm-hmm.
rather than the fast food culture. So parents who sit at home, eat with their family, they eat a balanced diet, academically these children do better than the other children.
Sure.
And also later on in the life, their brain is less prone to dementia and other problems. So they will be well protected against these problems later on in life as well. So how can these children develop this habit of eating a balanced diet? And as we previously mentioned, the role of the mother in this case is extremely crucial. For example, before birth, when the baby is in the tummy, you know, just 6 up to 8 weeks of pregnancy, the child has already got taste buds developed. And what happens is that when the mother is expecting, they get cravings.
Mm.
And when the mother gets the cravings, then they crave for, generally speaking, chocolate and processed foods. Yes, I mean, these cravings can be lots of different things, but what happens is that then the taste from these, the sugar from these foods that they're consuming, because the baby's taste buds are developed, so via the blood, the baby is receiving these tastes and the chemicals, and it's imprinting on their brain. This is how children get accustomed to culturally appropriate food. So a child born within the Asian family, they will find it easy to accustom to the Asian food. So it is important from this illustration that it is extremely essential that the mother tries to maintain a balanced diet when she's expecting.
Okay.
Then after the birth of the baby, once again, the baby is being the mother's milk. So whatever the mother's eating, the taste and the chemicals from there are going into the baby as well.
Right.
And then from 6 months onwards, when the child is weaned, then my advice for the parents will be not to go for these pre-packed, processed jars of food, even if it is fruit and porridge or puddings. because these processed foods, they have chemicals in them, preservatives in them. They affect the behavior of the children, and some of these may be addicted. So then children can get easily addicted to the fast food and so forth. So the mother, in this case again, has to learn, spend time, the how she can prepare a variety of foods, how she can add different tastes to this food so that this child ends up consuming the balanced diet. And then clearly the other family members have to become part and parcel of this too.
That's a very good explanation, mashallah. You mean that it has to start a long journey, very in the start, even when the mother she is expecting from that time. And definitely. Now, I would like to ask one question, the way they have explained. The mistake has been made. Damage is done. How to fix it? Now, children, they're not listening. They don't want to listen. And they want to drink. They want to eat whatever they like. They are fussy in eating. How would you respond to that?
The thing is that clearly the big responsibility lies upon the shoulders of the parents. Yeah. They need to change their habits. They need to stop getting angry. They need to start giving time. They need to start giving love and affection to the child. They need to actually make the child feel that you are on their side, and also be assertive and maintain the boundaries. Sit down and discuss the rules before you force the rule upon them. Agree the rules with children rather than forcing the rules. And then reward the good behaviors rather than immediately adopting the punishment for the wrong behavior.
MashaAllah. Thank you so much. Many respected viewers of Madani Channel, you must have benefited from this very episode. We hope inshallah azza wa jal, and we'll come back with another episode. We'll share a few more challenges the parents they are facing and they have written to us. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Teach your children three things. Love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran recital. Teach your children three things. Love for your prophet, love for his family, love for